Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
As we are 6 days away from the NFL draft, or night one of the NFL draft, also we are less than 20 hours away from game one of the Cavs Magic Series. To talk about all of it, welcome on Daryl Ryder, R. Browns, and 92.3 The Fan beat reporter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hello, boys.
How we doing?
Hello, Daryl.
Doing fine. Getting ready for game one here. Pins and needles.
I have noticed that I have yet to get an updated counter on my magic number for our burger, milkshake, and teaser bet, and I'd like to know what the hell, brah.
Been a little busy covering the Browns and Cavs this week, brah.
Listen.
There's only one of me.
Listen, brah. That's actually a pretty good point. All right. Complaint withdrawn for now. But don't let it happen again, I think, or maybe do. I know you were at the...
I'll get back to you when there's only two sports, or only one sport to cover.
All right, well, that could make quick work here if the Cavs don't show up properly.
Wow.
Well, no, because here's the thing. We've heard them say a lot of the right things. Are you buying into what the Cavs are selling about their readiness for this series?
Well, I mean, Georges Niang wasn't real happy with me earlier today. I was just trying to ask him about the physical practices that they've been having this week, and he thought I was trying to tie it into last year. What is clear is they're sick and tired of hearing about last year and being asked about it. What happened with the quick departure courtesy of the New York Knicks. So I don't know if I'm buying or selling any of it. I'll just say that we're going to find out starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock where this Cavalier team is. It appears that the time off has been certainly beneficial to Donovan Mitchell and a couple other guys that have been nursing some bumps and bruises, Caris LeVert among them. So, they had physical practices this week, they say. And they felt that that's what they needed to do to prepare for what's to come here in the playoffs. But I really don't buy into the quotes. I kind of buy into what I see with my own two eyes. And so we shall see if they're truly ready for the physicality that is the NBA playoffs. But you look at what the Cavs did as far as bringing guys in the offseason, bringing in guys like Max Strus and Georges Niang. They did add experience to the roster, and they shored up the bench, which were two areas that they were extremely deficient in last year against the Knicks. So we'll see if that pays some dividends.
Who has more pressure and more who has more things weighing on the outcome of this this series, Donovan Mitchell or J.B. Bickerstaff?
J.B. Bickerstaff. Because if they're done, if they're one and done again, I don't see a path where he comes back. So, whereas with Donovan Mitchell, whether he chooses to sign an extension with the Cavaliers or he goes on and requests to go on to somewhere else, his career continues and he's going to get more opportunities at the at the postseason. So. I think that there's a lot of pressure, not only on J.B. Bickerstaff, but the Cavalier organization as a whole.
Daryl, Am I wrong in saying that there's a little bit of a lack of buzz today in this whole week? Is that going to change? And what's it going to take to make a change? Is it going to be a blowout win tomorrow?
I mean, it's going to take the Cavaliers winning tomorrow. I don't know if there's a lack of buzz, Dustin. I think that certainly the way the Cavaliers ended the season, and especially the way they played after the All-Star break, they won more than they won back-to-back games, like once. I mean, they didn't exactly put it together down the stretch. And so I think that leaves some fans feeling apprehensive. I certainly understand that. Donovan Mitchell's not been 100%. They've not had the full collection and complement of the roster at 100% really at any point this season. So, I certainly understand why fans might be a little apprehensive going in. But I will tell you this, though. I guarantee you come 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is going to be bonkers, and I'm going to need earplugs because it's going to be so loud.
So with that, you talked a lot about the final 20 to 30 games of the regular season, which were wonky and uneven, and you didn't really know the identity of the team, who was going to show up on any given night, who was actually healthy enough to play on any given night. So that's usually the time where you would expect a team to kind of put things together for a playoff run. Is 1-7-game series, is that enough time for this team to find their footing and put themselves in a position to at least have a chance to make a deep playoff run?
Well, you hope so. I don't think that there's a deep playoff run coming, because even if they win this series, more than likely Boston awaits them, and I think we have a pretty good idea how that series is going to go. So, It feels like for the Cavs right now, winning a playoff series is the goal. Like that is where their bar is. You know, we've heard Donovan Mitchell speak a couple of times, especially late in the season. And then he said it again this week where, you know, making the playoffs is the bare minimum. But it just, the sense I get is that everything seems to be built into them winning this series. And if they can win this series, they've climbed the mountaintop. And I just don't know that I agree with that particular viewpoint. I think that this is a collection of talent that is very capable. I don't like the mentality of, if we can just win one playoff series, we've done our job and everyone gets to keep their job and we can run it back next year. And I just feel like when you give up what the Cavaliers gave up to get Donovan Mitchell in here and the pain that you went through, and give the organization credit, they rose from the ashes to become a playoff team. They've done the play-in thing. They've actually made the playoffs, but they've yet to obviously win a playoff series. But like the rebuild's over. Like it's about postseason success now. And so their sights should be set higher in, you know, at least from my perspective, than just winning a playoff series. I think that if they win this series against Orlando, they're going to feel like a gigantic weight has just been lifted off their shoulders.
I've seen about 17 reports, Daryl, that NBA executives are lining up in case the Cavs fail in the playoffs. Do you think it is... is it a fair statement to say that there's a fair amount of the NBA hoping the Cavs fail, so that will impact Donovan Mitchell's future?
Oh, well, absolutely. I forget the NBA, the national media. I mean, the national media is probably sitting there praying for a magic sweep. They've been wanting to get Donovan Mitchell out of Cleveland since he got here. Even the moment the trade news broke, I think it was Woj or Shams, one of those two obviously broke that trade news. But the moment that broke, they're like, Donovan Mitchell's not long-term for the Cavaliers. Countdown's on until he tells them to take a hike and get him out of Cleveland. He's going to be unhappy, and then we keep here. It's the same narrative over and over again, and now you're seeing all these stories about the Cavaliers trading Donovan Mitchell is very real, and things like, what are we doing? What is our business come to? Because really there's only there's three people that really know what's going on with Donovan Mitchell right now. It would be Kobe Altman, Donovan Mitchell, and Donovan Mitchell's agent. Those are the three people that matter in this whole scenario. It's not what the executive of unnamed source with a unnamed team says about the situation. They're not in Cleveland. They're not a member of the Cavalier organization. But I do feel like there is just this collective effort to maintain this narrative that Donovan Mitchell hates being in Cleveland. He hates playing for the Cavaliers when this guy has acted and performed, and the guy is killing him, and he's fighting the organization to get on the floor when everyone's telling him he needs to take a break. Does that sound like a guy that isn't invested in what the Cavaliers are doing or hates playing in Cleveland and things like that? No. But the national media continues to do what the national media does, and they can't help themselves. So I'd love the Cavs to make a finals run, not just because that's the fun of it and how great it would be for Cavs fans, but just to give the old singular salute to the national media that would get Donovan Mitchell to want to sign a contract extension here, and they could all just shut up about it already.
Daryl Ryder is joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I never get to read that. I wanted to read that.
How did it feel?
Felt great.
Yeah. It sounded really natural.
You nailed it.
Did it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, Daryl, let's shift gears here a little bit and talk a little Brownies. So Andrew Berry had a press conference this week and answered some questions about Greg Newsom. Two-part question. Number one, will the Browns trade Greg Newsom? And number two, would you?
I would not, because I do believe with it, what Andrew Berry says, there's no such thing as having enough good corners, especially this day and age, in the NFL. And I thought Barry made a really good point when talking about it, Dustin, when he said, hey, we have our base defense, but basically it's three wide that we're defending. We're putting three corners on the field pretty much almost every play. So I would not. In fact, I would try and extend him and keep him here. And that's why I quickly, after he was asked about Newsom and potentially trading him, that's why I heard it and jumped in and said, hey, well, you're going to extend him, or not. And then obviously Barry said, I don't talk contracts, which is usually what he says in those regards, but I absolutely would keep him. I don't know if they would trade him. If there was a piece that could help them bring in another piece, Dustin, it would be Greg Newsom. But as I sit and look at the roster, I don't know what piece they need to bring in. Like, I don't know what they're missing. And even going into the draft, like, I don't know what pick at 54 they need to spend that on to fill the hole, because I think the roster is in relatively good shape.
What about a Jed Wills trade during the draft?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen either, and the reason I say that is because Barry leaned on their experience at tackle the last couple of years and how they have had to go into the reserves. If you were paying DeJuan Jones significant dollars, then I think that would have some traction to it, or at least be worthy of a conversation. But you're not paying DeJuan Jones anything. And so the fact that you have an NFL caliber starter that you're not going to be able to put on the field in week one, but you will as soon as something happens to Conklin or Wills, like, he's their insurance policy at tackle right now. So I don't see them trading one of those three tackles.
Daryl, when it comes to the Browns offseason in general, if you could only use one word to describe what the Browns have done, what word would it be?
Sufficient. I think Andrew Berry addressed what he needed to address. Certainly, it wasn't the typical Browns offseason that everyone gets excited about, where they just make splash after splash after splash. Jerry Jeudy really is the big splash, let's be honest about it. But there are some questions about him and what he's going to be able to do. Certainly, the organization has their own projections, and that's why they gave him the contract extension. But yeah, sufficient. He filled the holes that needed to be filled. He addressed the things that needed to be addressed. He was able to retain some guys. I don't see any of their free agent losses being crippling by any stretch of the imagination. Certainly added a ton of depth at the quarterback position and really tried to insulate themselves from anything and everything that can go wrong there, which obviously happened last season. So yeah, I think it was a sufficient offseason for Barry and the Browns.
Daryl, I think the Browns need to go after a receiver in the second round. To me, that's one of their biggest needs. What do you think their biggest need is?
Well, they do that, then that means they got to cut one of the guys that they've drafted recently. And we know how much Andrew Berry likes cutting his draft picks. The positions that, and I don't care what order, but I think that I do agree with you that they probably should draft another receiver. We'll see if he keeps the tradition alive of doing it in the third round. I think that they need interior offensive line help because they've got some age and some expense there. And you got to look at the long-term view there. So that's a good opportunity to draft and develop somebody. I think defensive tackle, that's a draft and develop, potentially throw in the rotation opportunity there. I think linebacker is another position where they could use some youth and potentially a rotational player. So those are the areas that I expect or think or feel that Andrew Berry should address with those six draft picks, with only two of those coming in the top 150.
Daryl, I forgot to mention, the podcast is back, and it looks amazing. Congratulations.
We are back. That one dropped. We'll have another one dropping early next week as we approach the draft. But, we're back up and running.
I got to ask, new show, new you? Or is it, I guess that doesn't make sense because you've been doing the show for, 2 years now?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's no such thing as a new me, Nick.
You
of all people should know this.
Yeah, I sent you a text earlier today, and you gave the most Daryl Ryder answer back, and I was just like, God dang it, man, it's Friday. Will you just not be Daryl for 5 friggin' seconds?
Hey, it wasn't like I was included on anything, so I'm just saying.
Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you, bud.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the playoffs this weekend.
You as well. Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Great stuff with Daryl, both on the NFL draft and the Cavs in the playoffs. We'll obviously get back into the Cavs here as we can continue to get you ready for Game 1 tomorrow in Cleveland. That's next right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And I don't know how his family would feel about us talking about this, which I think is interesting. But a man who created, who I think directly is owed credit for the NFL discovering the theatricality around the NFL draft and how to sell the NFL draft, which then helped lead to the explosion in popularity of the NFL draft, has passed away. Bill Tobin, and you're going to say, well, I know Duke Tobin. You might even remember Vince Tobin. Now, Duke Tobin's the Bengals GM. His dad is Bill Tobin. Vince Tobin is Bill's brother, former Cardinals head coach from way back in the day. So they're a football family. Bill Tobin unfortunately passed away, and that was announced today. you would know him as the man from this seminal moment in NFL draft coverage.
One question, Bill. A lot of criticism about not taking a quarterback here. Your response?
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
I mean, kind of a shot, kind of a stray there at postman at the end of it.
Why the Postal Service catching that stray?
I mean, just because it's not your primary occupation doesn't mean you can't also have a field of expertise there. That postman could have ended up playing in the NFL.
I'm sure Bill that postman know. Has put on a jockstrap before. Have you seen those tight shorts?
And by the way, I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yeah?
You just put on a jockstrap and say, I've put one on. You don't even need to have played in the NFL, right? Because if the question is, have you put on a jockstrap? I have. Yeah.
I was a big jockstrap guy.
I distinctly remember in my days in football, the dudes who would walk around in the jockstrap in the locker room. And that was better than the dudes who would walk around naked. But I'm just saying, I remember there were a couple dudes who, like, they felt real comfortable at 16 just being like, hey, guys, how you doing? I'm like, I'd be doing better if we got dressed while we were talking instead of being eye to eye here, as it were. But
did he have a jock on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what's the big deal?
One, I don't like people standing over me.
Asked out?
Yeah, I think that's more it. And here's the thing. When you're that age.
Can't see a man's butt?
No. It's that there's just dumb things that men do when you're immature and 16. Never trusted it. Never trusted any part of you is nude. There's something. My guard was up. I don't have to talk about the other things that happen, the hazing stuff that happens that 100% happened when we were young kids in football. People didn't really do it to me, though. I think they were a little afraid of me.
High school was so funny, man. Like, half the kids would like go shower with their underwear on.
Yeah. So I developed a reputation very early on as being somebody who, if you got me, I would get you back 10 times worse. For instance, do you remember tagging? Or you tag somebody in the man parts?
Oh, a ball tap?
Yeah. So my buddy Ben, when we were like 15, got me good. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited.
It can tingle.
Until he least expected it. He stood up in front of everybody, like jumped up, like real, like raring to go. And I reared back. And swung as hard as I could. There was liftage, dude. Like, there was blast off. And he jumped over a table, fell right on the ground, obviously grabbing himself, and sat there whimpering for 10 minutes, got up after 10 minutes, walked away, and didn't say another thing about it. And after that, nobody tagged me in high school. Message sent, right?
Let them know.
Hashtag let them know. Getting back to Bill Tobin, that moment put Mel Kiper on the radar in like a real way. Two, I think it put the NFL draft on the, like, and again, I don't know his family would want you to talk about it like that, but like, I just think like every time they play that, and that sound courtesy of ESPN, I didn't want to forget to say that, but like every time they played that piece of sound, I laugh and smile. Like Jack's here. We were listening to it, and it just evokes the memory of just a red-faced Bill Tobin who just wanted to beat Mel Kiper's booty. Just wanted to kick his butt. Knew he couldn't do it. It cost him his job. Oh, and by the way, if I remember correctly, oh my gosh, was that 94 or 95? This is the guy that drafted Marshall Faulk. Like, this is a guy who, there's like two or three, like, I think he drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. The guy drafted like two or three Hall of Famers, and in 97 they replaced him with Bill Polian, who then got all the credit for drafting Peyton, even though the roster had pretty much been built by Bill Tobin, who wanted to beat them booty cheeks of Mel Kiper. To my knowledge, has not. Is there a better when you think of the NFL draft, is there any moment you think of before you think of that one?
Oh, man. The NFL draft?
Yeah.
Think about any crazy moments?
Like, I think of Aaron Rodgers in the waiting room. That one seared into my brain.
Yeah. That's a classic one.
I was going to say the Bill Simmons things, but that's the NBA draft where he did, like, the high-pitched, oh! We all remember that. Don't act like I'm making something up.
I remember Roger Goodell in his easy chair.
That's actually the one moment. That's actually the one moment where I might have liked Roger Goodell. Was easy listening, Rog. Like the Cosby sweater, Rog. It's the only thing shared in cotton with Cosby. 216-474-0092. When you think of the NFL draft, is the Bill Tobin, Mel Kiper thing the first thing you think of? It is. It's the honestly, at 9 years old, when 9 or 10 when it happened, is the moment where I understood that the draft wasn't just about players being picked. It was about the theater involved in the draft. I think it's when the NFL realized it, too. One final segment. Next on that final segment. Next on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile. Get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.